I'd like to think this morning about a great opportunity. I've entitled the message, Our Greatest Opportunity. Sometimes we talk about the opportunity of a lifetime. What would you want to do if you had a great opportunity? Wonder what you would say if we'd ask you, what is the greatest, the thing you would most, the greatest opportunity you would reach for? Some people dream would be to, win the lottery jackpot or something like that, so they could do whatever they want to do. But what, and I trust that's not ours, what is your greatest ambition? The thing that you would like to do more than anything else? Maybe it would be to save someone's life. Sometimes a person is in a place where you can literally save someone's life. Just quickly tell you the story of one lady, her name Joanne of Australia. Her brother was a mountain climber in the mountains of Nepal and received word that he was lost, as happens in that occupation or hobby, whatever it is. They couldn't find him. And the rescuers gave up hope of finding him, said there's no hope. But she decided this is her opportunity, and she would not give up until he's found. And I won't go into any details, but finally, about 6 weeks after he was lost, they actually found her brother James, and he was still alive, although barely, just barely alive. The book says that the only thing that stood between James and death was the love and determination of his sister. So that was an opportunity for a sister to save her brother's life. She literally saved his life because she wouldn't give up. But I'd like to share with us this morning that we have an opportunity that is greater than what this Joanne had. What could it be? We're going to look at the greatest opportunity we can have in life. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, and we'll be reading a few scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 3. The opportunity I want to share with us this morning is simply this: the opportunity to make a difference in the eternal destiny of a soul. Could there be a greater opportunity in life than that? The eternal destiny of a soul. The difference between heaven and hell. Here in Hebrews chapter 3, we find some description of this. We'll be reading from verse 12 in Hebrews 3. You might want to stand as we read a scripture here. Verse 12, Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. You may be seated. That's as far as I read just now. These scriptures point us to a tremendous responsibility and opportunity. If we'd have time, we could read chapters 2, 3, and 4 here in Hebrews. It would sort of put everything in better, more in context, but we won't take time to do that. But what we see here is that the Hebrew writer is pointing back to the children of Israel. And we heard a bit about that in the devotional, about the time they were in slavery. And this happened over and over again. And then later, they were in Egypt as slaves. And they were delivered out of Egypt. But as he's saying here, most of them, they were all delivered, but most of them never made it to the promised land. So why? What was the problem? And why is the Hebrew writer pointing back to the Israelites? There's a spiritual lesson for us today. You see, all of us have been slaves to sin. Spiritually, it's as though we were slaves in Egypt. God brought a deliverer. He brought a savior. He delivered us from the slavery of sin. But we're still on our journey, aren't we? We're not yet in the promised land. We sing about it. We read about it. We talk about it. We're looking forward to being there. But we're still in the wilderness. And so we are surrounded by dangers. Dangers without, dangers from within. And so the Hebrew writer is inspired by the Holy Spirit here to give us warnings and admonition, reminding us that we need to help each other. Or we can become like the children of Israel, who never made it. They started, but they didn't get there. Let's look at these verses just briefly, the first several here. In verse 12, it warns us of the danger of departing from the living God. Verse 13 explains that this happens when a person is hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14 reminds us that to become a partaker of Christ, we need to continue. Notice that little word, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. If we allow the deceitfulness of sin to draw us away, we'll be like the children of Israel who started, but they died in the wilderness before they ever got to the promised land. A tragic story, but we can be the same way if we're not careful. So what's our part then in not allowing this to happen, seeing to it that this doesn't happen? Verse 13 gives us the answer here, where it says, exhort one another daily. Exhort one another. Do you ever exhort the people around you? And what does that mean? The Greek word, where we get this word exhort, is the word parakaleo, similar to paraclete, which is a description of the Holy Spirit. But parakaleo means to call near, to invite, to comfort, to encourage, to entreat, to beseech, or to pray. A lot of things, ideas encompassed in exhort one another. To invite, to comfort, to encourage, to entreat. It has a meaning of helping people around us. Exhort one another. Whatever the need of the moment may be, to come through the challenges, the difficulties, the trials of life successfully, so that we don't give up when the going gets tough and we don't get tricked by this deceitfulness of our enemy. So this word, parakaleo, exhort, can mean we should encourage, console, comfort, pray for. Can also mean we should exhort in the line of teaching, warning, beseeching. So it has a lot of different components. Now, most of us are around people much of the time, aren't we? There's no one here this morning who lives on an island all by yourself, do you? We have people around us. And you would agree that you're around different people much of the time, and people around us have needs. They can be in danger, sort of like the children of Israel were. And God's word is telling us here that you and I can make a difference. That's what it's saying. Exhort one another daily, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Make a difference. And I'd like to just mention two things in which this is a great opportunity. First, because it's an opportunity and a calling that's open to everyone, not just to a few. It's not reserved for people with a special intellect or special ordination or calling. Anything else? I could look up and down these benches this morning and I could name every one of you and say that you have this opportunity to affect the people around you, to make a difference. You do. You have some abilities. Certainly you can pray. Certainly you can encourage. And all kinds of things that every one of us can do. So none of us are excluded. That makes it a great blessing. The second thing is that this difference we're called to make is one of eternal consequences. eternal consequences. If we ever have the chance to save someone's life like this Joanne I mentioned, we should, of course, do that. Her love and determination saved her brother's life, gave him more years to live. But the truth is that he's going to die, and if he hasn't already, I don't know, this was some years ago. The opportunity we're talking about here is far greater than that, because it's an opportunity to make a difference in the eternal destiny of someone. Now, I'd like to explain that just a little bit more, because we all have work to do. Sometimes we may feel like we're too busy in our making a living or homemaking, perhaps for mothers, or whatever you're doing. We may think, how could we in the middle of what we're doing? But I'd like to just mention that a bit. Whether we build furniture or houses or milk cows or bake carrot cakes or make ice cream cones for customers, whatever we're doing, these things are not our real work. That's not why we moved to Ireland 17 years ago. Our real work is to make a difference in the lives of people. That's what we're here for, right? And I trust that's what you're here for, to make a difference, to exhort, to build up is another meaning of that word. I fear that sometimes we may forget this, and we might look out there and think that if only I would be there and doing so and so, then I could make a difference in people's lives. But the truth is, if we go out there, we take ourselves along and we'll likely do the same thing as we're doing here. And you know, the problem with that thinking that if only I was there, then I could really do something worthwhile, is that it keeps us from seeing the potential and the calling of where we are right now. Because we're just thinking about how much better it would be there. We'll miss the opportunities that God is giving us right now. See, it's the same symptom as the cow in the field who has plenty of grass, but the grass on the other side of the fence is greener and nicer, so they stretch and push to try to get over there when really they have all they need. It always looks better over there. Oswald Chambers says this well in his classic devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest. He says that we should never allow ourselves to think that we are of no use where God has placed us, because we certainly are of no use where God has not placed us. We can only serve God where we are, can't we? Not where we are not. Now, I'd like to look at a few specific ways in which we can exhort one another. Opportunities that all of us have from time to time. Turn with me a bit further to Hebrews chapter 10. And we'd just like to notice several more verses here. In Hebrews 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but, see this word again, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Here we find very similar thoughts as we saw in chapter 3. Notice again the context of warning against sliding back. And we find that over and over if we'd read these chapters. Warning against sliding back, against losing that which we've been given. And so he calls us here in verse 24 to consider one another. Consider one another to stir up love and good works. Now, then verse 25, the word exhort there again, the same word we saw earlier, that parakaleo. So how can we actually do this as we exhort? There's many ways. One of the things we need to do is start with what it says in verse 24. Let us consider one another. Consider one another. I find I tend to consider myself too much and not so much others. To exhort each other, we have to consider other people and their needs. Think about them and get our eyes off ourselves. Stop thinking about all the things other people should be doing for us or for other people, and start noticing more what we can do for others. Now, these verses put this calling to exhortation in the context of coming together, just like we're here right now this morning. So how can we exhort one another here? A few are called to teach and preach, but this is an opportunity that's open to everyone. Those of you who were here last Sunday may recall that Jonathan made the statement in the message that the church is a sociological miracle. And that thought sort of stayed with me and sort of part of the spark for this message. The church, the people, as we even consider the relatively small group here this morning, but many different backgrounds and cultures here. But we're here together, and we care about each other, and we love each other, and we enjoy the interaction and fellowship. It's a miracle, isn't it? It's a miracle of the grace of God. It's the only reason that we can be together in this way. So let's consider for a moment how we come to church. As he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. How do we come to church? Well, we dress up for one thing, don't we? We put on sort of our Sunday best. But then beyond that, how do we come? What's going on in our minds? Our minds are sort of like a CD player. You know, there's always something going on in our mind. It would be interesting if we could record what's going on there. If we could have, as all of us walked in this morning, if we could have bugged your mind and recorded those thoughts and now play them off for everybody to hear. Jimmy was thinking this, now we'll listen to that, now we'll see what Quentin was thinking. Would we like that? What were we thinking as we came to church this morning? Something, our minds, there's always something going on. Let's imagine, let's take a few guesses what some people may think. Could be something like, I wonder if anybody will notice my new dress today, or my new shoes, or my new suit. I wonder what they'll think of me. Do you ever think those thoughts? Anybody? Or sometimes it seems people may think, I sure hope the preaching's better than it was the last time he preached. That was quite boring. Do you ever think that? You don't have to raise your hand, but those can be thoughts. How do we come to the assembly, to the worship? Or maybe I sure hope I can stay awake today. It's embarrassing to be so sleepy. I wonder what people think of me. I wonder how many of us have thought this. I wonder what people think of me. Isn't that a common thread of thinking? Well, with CDs like that playing in our mind, that kind of thought pattern, will we do what verse 25 says to exhort, well, verse 24 as well, to stir up love and good works and build each other up? When we're always so worried, what are they going to think, you know, and what can I get? We're not looking for opportunities if we're so self-centered, are we? We need a new library up there in our minds, recordings, some new recordings there. What if we come to our time of fellowship and think something more like this? I know people are burdened. People are lonely. Some are hurting. Some are fearful for the future. Wonder who I could encourage today. I wonder how I could be an encouragement to someone. Lord, help me to speak kind words of encouragement. Do you think if we come with that in our minds, we'd be better prepared, wouldn't we, to be a blessing, to make that difference? And we know this doesn't come naturally because our inclination is toward ourself. Things on our mind and our hearts and things we need. To think of others takes discipline. It takes coming to the cross and crucifying, allowing our self-life to be crucified and asking the Lord to fill us with that living water that would flow out to others. It needs to be practiced and cultivated and prayed about to be reaching out to others. So let's think for a moment about how we can, how and when we do exhort each other in this gathering, in this church service. A few specific ways. As you know, we start then with a song service. Nearly always there's opportunity for at least one selection, sometimes several. We can come with a burden or a testimony and say, I'd like to sing, if there's an opportunity, suggest a song selection, of expressing encouragement or praise, or whatever it is that God is giving us on our heart. In fact, I thought perhaps we'd just practice that right now. Maybe there's someone here who's carrying a heavy load and the way ahead looks dark and dreary. What could we sing that would help to lift that burden and give us renewed strength and courage? Let's stand together and sing a verse of What a Day That Will Be. You know, we like that wonderful opera. Let's stand together. David, would you lead us? There is coming a day. Let's sing the first verse in a chorus.
There is coming a day when a heartache so comes, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye, all is peace.
Thank you. You may be seated. Just lift our hearts like that. See, the song service is not just some old tradition, just sort of a form to bring us all together. It's a wonderful opportunity every time to be expressing, lifting our hearts and voices in praise, in encouragement. Tremendous blessing, isn't it, to come together and worship in song. Then we have a Sunday school class. There's another opportunity for encouragement and exhortation. When we come and we've studied and we've prepared to share, we can build each other up. It can be a real time of blessing. If you're the teacher, and you teach like you would like others to teach. If you're a student, be a student like you would like to have if you're teaching. It takes preparation. It takes more than just coming and wondering what this teacher has to say. If it's going to be the opportunity that it can be, we need to do some preparation at home, don't we? To come and consider each other and exhort each other in the Sunday school time. Then we have the preaching of the word, a time of exhortation. Only one may be preaching, but everyone can take part. By prayer, by listening, by giving prayerful attention and support to what's being said, and by applying the word then to our life. And then after the message, many a person has been encouraged by the testimony of someone who was willing to give just a brief word of testimony about something that has been a blessing in your life, a victory won perhaps, an answer to prayer, a word of appreciation for a special blessing that you've received, or whatever the Lord lays on your heart. The testimony time is an opportunity to build each other up. It's an opportunity that is yours. Everyone has that opportunity. And then after the close of the service, there are still more opportunities. That's when these recordings that we're going through our mind, you know, can be put into practice, when we meet each other and we listen and we seek to encourage, to bless other people. And you know what happens? You've all experienced it. As we do that, we in turn are blessed too, aren't we? If we just sit around and wish somebody would come talk to me, you know, there's not much blessing in that, is there? But when we seek to encourage others, we find ourselves encouraged. It's a miracle. We find joy as we give joy to others. That's an opportunity that God is giving all of us. Now, there's a tendency that we all have, and that is to think that others will do these things. Others will choose a song. Others will study their Sunday school lesson. They won't really miss me if I don't study and prepare, or if I don't give a testimony, somebody else can give one. After all, what difference does my little bit make if people won't notice that I haven't done something? There's a story about an old doctor who was retiring in a little country village, and he had worked among these people in this small village for all his life, and the mayor proposed that they would give this retiring doctor a special treat. Of course, it's something we wouldn't do, but they liked their wine, so he said they'll set up a keg, they'll have a sort of a farewell service time of gathering, and they'll set up this keg, and they want every family to just come with a small little jug of wine and pour it in there, and at the end then he can take that home, and that will be their gift. So that's what they did. There was a steady stream of people on that day, and they each brought a little jug and poured it in the keg and made a presentation to this kindly old doctor that was retiring. And so he took it home that evening, and the next evening he was sitting by his fireplace and thought, well, it'd be nice to have a glass of wine. So he opened the keg and got himself a little glass and took a sip, and he was shocked. He couldn't believe it. It was just water. Just tasted like water. And he tried another one, and same thing. It was obvious. It was just plain water like that. He took the keg back to the mayor and complained and said, just ordinary water in here. And the mayor called for a town meeting to see what's going on here. He thought they were giving him some nice wine. Much to his disgust and disappointment and embarrassment, it was discovered that everybody thought, well, everybody else will bring wine. I'll just pour a little water in mine, and they won't know the difference because I'm just putting in a little bit. And everybody did that, and then it was all water, wasn't it? Every person thought their little bit won't matter. Nobody will notice the difference. And see, that's exactly how it is in the church. Every little bit does matter, because that's what everything is made of, is a lot of little bits, just like that keg full of liquid. Life is made up of little bits, isn't it? So God has a special purpose for you. You know that no one else can do what God is calling you to do. No one else can fill that specific place. And you can make a difference. you can help someone around you. So if you've been waiting for your greatest opportunity, you don't need to wait any longer. Your opportunity is here. You can make the difference in someone's life. The difference between eternal life or eternal death. Perhaps for some child who's still young, some young person, some seeking soul, or some weary person. That opportunity can be found in the daily routines of life, in home, our work, wherever we are, and every time we get together for worship and fellowship. So many opportunities, aren't there? Let's grasp them. Let's take the opportunities that God gives us. Just consider these verses again. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Shall we do that? Let's kneel in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much this morning that you're giving us such great opportunities. And indeed, we know we have been helped. Every one of us is also the recipient of so many blessings and so many people who have put themselves into our lives. Grant us, Lord, this vision, to this burden, this desire to reach out and make a difference in other people's lives. We pray, Lord, that this can be a reality from day to day, from week to week, as we meet here to worship and fellowship, that we truly would build each other up in our faith, in our love, and good works. Thank you, Lord, for everyone here. Indeed, it is a miracle how that we can be together and love each other and work together for common causes. Thank you, Lord, for every opportunity you're giving us. Just open our hearts and minds to see more of what you would want us to do. And it's all because of Jesus. We know that of ourselves we can do nothing. But as you live in us and put that living water in, that it can flow out to others. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We lift our hearts to you and adore you, worship you, our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.